Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
I just forgot how to scat. I was going to go beep up, but up, but up. That's kind of that is scat.
I think we've started.
Yeah, we started. We are starting with the scat. It is Simon and the JJs, the scat troop. Joe and Jesse with me this week. How is it going?
That was actually quite good. I was expecting a much worse improv name from that, but
that's true.
Cardi and the JJs does actually sound like a scat group.
Let's get it going. How are you?
I am so warm, and I think both of you are going to start seeing me visibly sweat.
Melt.
Like, it's going to be, in an hour's time, I'm going to be, like, wiping away. It's going to be disgusting. It's humid.
I can't wait.
It's too humid.
It's a bit, a bit muggy, isn't it? That's the term I'd use, a bit muggy.
I had my strategic desk fan on before the podcast began, and now it's off, so I'm just counting down to the sweat.
You have to keep the windows closed. Don't want any of that bird noise or wind, God forbid.
Little look into my life here. Outside my window, it's usually quiet, except when my favourite Chinese in the world, which is around the corner from my house, has their extractor fan on, and it sounds like 1,000 bees.
It's that loud?
It's so loud. It's like...
That's crazy.
And you don't...
Do you smell it?
And then it just... Yes, I can, and it's really bad for me, because every time I smell I'm like, I'm going round out. Wait, bleep out the name of it. I don't want people knowing where I live.
Just say Subway instead in a really monotone way.
Genuinely, can we bleep that out?
Yeah, we will bleep
that. I refuse to dox myself.
Yeah. Look, there might be multiple in the world. Who knows?
You mean one of these?
Oh, there we go. That is
if
a
you
bit.
You can have that on standby.
It's kind of what it sounds like outside my house right now.
Anyway, should we talk about some games?
Yeah, I love games.
We are over the E3 hump.
Good.
Yeah, it's you know, can relax a little bit. I mean, I'm about to relax. I don't know about you guys. It still feels very busy. Mm. But
what's because it's not over. The summer of gaming.
It's not over.
Never ends.
It's never over.
Friend, and IGN wills it so.
Exactly. But at least we've had time to actually play some games for a change rather than just look at them being presented to us, which is nice. We're going to just... This is what this podcast kind of is. We haven't got... I suppose, well, I reviewed Mario Golf. That's kind of a big deal. But the rest of it is kind of just like little bits and bobs we're going to get through. And we'll have an endless search. 2 weeks about the endless search, which I'm sure a lot of people did enjoy. But I'm sorry, it's now back.
I love it.
So there we go. Exactly, I love it. It's a bit of fun for us. You know,
let's
have some fun.
Yeah.
Why don't we just go straight into Mario Golf, which I reviewed, and contrary to popular opinion, I don't hate. I do actually like this game. I gave it a 6 out of 10, which means it's okay. I'm not normally someone who gets ruffled like when I do reviews by like people's like, you know, comebacks to it.
Stupidity. People's stupidity
is fine, but like I saw two posts yesterday which I just had to like kind of do like a subtweet of. It's like, you know, normally when a game comes out people do all the scores. It's like, here's the roundup, like 8 from I don't know Eurogamer, 7 from GameSpot, and then six, and then they had like all the 3-star reviews. There was like 3 or 4 3-star out of 5 reviews, and then they were like at the bottom, and then lowest of all IGN 6 out of 10. 3 out of 5 and 6 out of 10 is the exact same thing. Use your brains. Anyway, vented that out of the way. It's an okay game, which is what 6 out of 10 means on our scale, which means it's still fun. You can have fun with this game. It's just not what I wanted it to be, and it's just underwhelming, and it's sad because there are very few things in this world that give me as much joy as like an arcade golf game,
yeah.
especially Mario Golf.
I want a little peek behind the curtain for listeners. Cardi's done 3 podcasts in 3 days, and he's talked about Mario Golf on all of them. And I really feel like this is the one where his anger about it is coming out.
Yeah. If you want to see me, I was on Kind of Funny Gamecast on Wednesday. That was a laugh. Fun time with the lads. Last night, MVC, also fun time, but first time on MVC, you know, I wanted to be professional, wanted to give my opinion again. This one, I'm just letting go.
Is this not a fun time with the lads?
Oh yeah, it is, but it's also letting go.
With the lads, that's what you want.
Letting loose, getting loose. This is
lovely.
It's Friday afternoon, I'm letting loose.
IGN UK podcast, it's just lads letting loose.
It works.
I really like it.
The thing is, Mario Golf, I feel like you can come at this game in 2 different ways, and the way I came at it is I've always played Mario Golf as a single player game. Like I've always played it by myself on whether it's the NES or the Game Boy Advance or the GameCube. Like I played those, and they all, like, apart from the NES, because, you know, there wasn't a lot of content in that, but like Advance Tour and Game Boy Advance, I remember really enjoying that single player mode, like the mini RPG it has in it. And this was kind of what, maybe foolishly, I was expecting from Mario Golf Super Rush, and it's not what you get. It's much more akin to Mario Tennis Aces from like 3 years ago, which I thought was a big underwhelming event.
This is the thing with the recent Camelot sports games. I feel like what they're prioritizing, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, and I think the people who like the game more than you have brought this up. Which, by the way, from the little I know of Mario Golf, I definitely err towards your side of things, Cardi, because I like the bombast and the madness of those games. Whereas I think Tennis Aces and this seem to have in common the idea that they've really focused in on like basic how the thing feels, how the thing plays in a very like moment-to-moment way, and how that'll work online. And I think that comes at the cost of a better single player experience. Like a lot of people I know really like Tennis Aces as an online game because they just go on and they can master all those mechanics and it feels like a real competitive game. Whereas I played Tennis Aces hoping for a silly tennis game I could play on the train. And that's what I wanted out of this in its adventure mode as well. And it sounds like that's not what we've got.
The adventure mode is what, 3 to 4 hours, I think. There's not a lot to it. It's just not great. It feels a bit half-baked, a bit empty. Like, it starts off quite easy, and then you're just doing these odd, like, boss battles, which, in the trailers, I thought, okay, maybe we are getting, like, an RPG sort of, like, Pokemon thing to this. And it kind of starts that way, but just kind of tails off disappointingly. Like, the adventure mode is there. It is only a little bit of the game, but to me, it was a bit of the game I was really looking forward to, which is why I'm disappointed by that. Online, you will have fun. Like, if you're there to play Mario Golf, like with 3 friends, you will have a good time. I don't know for how long because there are only 6 courses.
That's mad.
The courses are fine. Like that is 2 less than the N64 version had, which I know they said they're adding more in future, but I can't review a game based on what they said it will be. Like, I can only based on what it is now. And the courses are fine. They're not the most exciting. Do you remember? Was it the last one? Was it World Tour that had like underwater courses and stuff like that? Like they really experimented.
What console was that on? Well, that would have been the
3DS.
Wii. Okay.
But yeah, there's like, I don't know. I just wanted more from it. It's still at its core a fundamentally fun Mario Golf game because you can't go too far wrong on that core mechanic of Mario Golf just feeling good and being simple and a game that anyone can enjoy really. But at the same time, like, they have stripped back stuff from previous editions. Like I said this a few times, like, I wanted this to almost be like the Mario, like Dream World. This is what I wanted, like the Mario Kart 8 version of Mario Golf, whereas like this is the ultimate version of Mario Golf. We're getting like all the courses back. We're gonna like have a great single player mode, whereas it's much more like Tennis Aces. It's quite empty. Online, like I said, you can play with up to 3 friends, so you can play 4 player. But locally, you can only play 2 player, which is mad. You can't play 4 player local. And there's no online tournaments, which the last Mario Golf had, which was like 100 people go in and you just against people in the odds. And like the kind of like joy of getting top three in those was amazing. Whereas in this, there's just nothing like that yet. I don't know if there's plans to add that, but yeah, there's nothing like that yet.
I feel like with the past, like, maybe start from like the Wii U 3DS generation of like Nintendo sport games and stuff like that, you've kind of had to like put down your expectations. Because I'm just thinking of like, you know, Super Mario Party. Like that had like what, four boards or something like that, I think, that it barely had any content to it really, and it never really got any updates, and now they've announced a new game and it just kind of left that to die. And it's, well, ju- it's just mad because you're fair, paying
they,
that.
They have just added an online mode to it, but like this far after it came out, exactly. Which is so weird. Like, it's like, such
I've
a
seen
bizarre
the argument, thing. Like some people being annoyed that that new Mario Party game isn't just £20 DLC for the the one they released a year ago. Like, I know they've got to make money, but come on, guys. But yeah, the big hook to Super Rush is the speed golf mode. That's why it's called Super Rush. And that can be very fun. Like, it adds Mario Kart elements to Mario Golf. Like, instead of just taking your shot and then magically teleporting to where the ball is, you actually have to run in between those two shots and use your special dashes to like knock people aside and gather coins, which boosts your special shot meter, which they have some cool effects. Like, Luigi's, for example, can just turn a radius around the ball to like ice, and it makes it all harder for opponents to par on, but it doesn't affect your ball, stuff like that. Like, speed golf is fun, but it's just, at the same time, I was just like, there's only six courses for me to do this on. They're quite similar.
Do they have like environmental hazards, or like are they just all green?
Like, a lot of them, the first two are green, and then like they have bunkers and water like you'd expect from golf. Like, a couple of them have Mario-esque kind of hazards in the way, but they're pretty easy to avoid. It's not like they're not like madly designed courses with like loads of Mario like warp pipes going on and stuff like that, which I just wanted more. That's the thing. I think it's perfectly fine, it's okay, it's fun enough, but I didn't want just fun enough. I wanted something I'd play for like months on end, whereas I've had it for what, a week and a half, and I'm kind of already like, unless us two and someone else was like, let's play Mario Golf like all the time, like, unless you have three friends you can play Mario Golf with all the time. I don't know, like, matchmaking with random people, like, I'm not getting that same pleasure. Like, being on voice chat and like, if you're trying to sink a 10-yard putt and I'm like, oh, don't miss it, like, you know. But any game played with friends is more fun, isn't it? But yeah, it's just, it's okay, that's the thing, it's fine. I just, for a full price game, I'm like, is there, from the way I come at this game as a single player experience, after 8 to 10 hours, I was like, I feel like I've seen everything this game has to offer. Which, if you like Mario Golf and you're looking to play with friends, I'd still recommend this game to play. But if you're someone like me who just wants to play it by themselves in bed, it's not, you know, you'd have to play it in bed. You know, you'd have to play it by yourself in bed. I don't care what you do with the game.
You don't have to play in bed.
Exactly.
I also, just to follow on from what you've just said, I really want to start sending you messages on WhatsApp out of hours saying, let's play Mario Golf all the time.
All the time. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Like, and even like, yeah, I said local, like, you can't play up to four. Like, it's not even like you could, if you're in a house of like four, you can't just buy it once between you and all play. Like,
wait, is there no local co-op?
There's local, but I believe, let me make sure I'm not 100% wrong on this. I'm pretty sure it's only up to two player local, not four.
Right, okay.
Where it's four player online.
It's mad that you can't even just, like,
I don't want to be wrong on that. That may be wrong. I don't have time to check it, though. So just discount that disclaimer. I didn't put it in my review, so I can't, you know, can't be officially wrong.
No, fair enough.
Be wrong here, though. But yeah, it's fine. I don't know if you guys have any questions about it. It's just, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. But that's how I felt with a lot of these, particularly Camelot stuff in recent years. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of World Tour either. Like, just let Camelot make Shining Force or Golden Sun again. They clearly just want to make cool tactical RPGs. Let them do it.
Well, they haven't done it here. I can tell you that. Shame. It is weird, like, the RPG, I call it an RPG, it's nowhere an RPG. It's called Adventure Mode, like, there's like, at first you're like, oh, you're in this like little golf club. It starts like Pokemon, like Birdo's your mum, basically. And like, you walk around this little like golf club and there's loads of people to talk to, but they have nothing to say. It's just things like, little tip for you, you know, hit the ball harder and it'll go further. It's like, thank you. Thank you, Goomba number one.
Can you play with motion controls?
You can. I very briefly tried them. They're not, They're not fantastic. You're not getting a Wii Golf thing out of this.
Like, yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
I want to play Mario Golf the traditional way, which, you know, the 2-3 button press of A or B, and like, you're there, you're on the green, you're sinking birdies. That's what I love to do. Yeah. And I had a nice time. I had a nice time doing it. Just not as a, you know, just not enough. Not enough of a good time.
Fair enough. Mm.
Maybe further down the line, they'll add some courses. Like, if this ever gets up to, like, 10, 12 courses that you can play with friends online, like, you can keep it varied enough. But I think, like, if we were to play this as a four, like, say we got someone else, like, we'd play it for one night for, like, 2 or 3 hours, have a great time, maybe have another night where we're like, oh, let's do it again. And then after a few days, we'd be like, should we do the same course again? Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I mean, you just have to wait, like, Super Mario Party, just 3 or 4 years for DLC to drop, and then you're gold.
Or it might not drop, you know? They said it is. But I hope. Like, because, yeah, I think it was in their... Was it in their E3 show where they showed Mario Golf? They were like, they showed a new Donk City map, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to play that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that was DLC. I thought that was in the game to start with, so I was disappointed when I never saw that.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, well.
That sucks.
Always next time. But, yeah. If you're, like I said, it's not a bad game. If you're looking, if like you and some friends have been looking forward to playing this game together, I'd still recommend getting it. You can have a nice time. But just don't expect too much from the adventure mode, because it's not really much to shout about at all.
Mm.
There we go. This is just kind of the show where we talk about what we've been playing. So I'm just going to talk about what else I've been playing, and then we'll move on to someone else. It's the Euros. We all know it's the Euros. And I've been playing far too much FIFA. I think I tweeted about 6 months ago, like, moaning about Ultimate Team, being like, unless you spend 1,000 hours in this or £1,000, you're getting nowhere and it's a waste of time. Well, I think I've now spent about 400 hours playing FIFA this year, which is the most I've played FIFA in a good few years. Mm. Like, the last 2 or 3 FIFAs, I normally play it for, what, 50 hours around review time. And then I'm kind of done for the year. But this year, I don't know why, Ultimate Team got into me. And it is kind of the devil's work, this game. Don't get me wrong. I do not advocate the pricing and the loot box nature of this game, because it is arguably evil. Although, did you see what they did this week with the preview packs?
Yeah, they put in loot certain packs where you can see what you're going to get and reject it.
Well, it is all packs at the moment, just during this like festival football event.
And they've said, right now it's all packs, and in future, there'll just be some packs.
I'm sure it's a test to see how much money they still made out of it. Because it kind of works twofold. You can see what's in it, so it's not necessarily a gamble. Then you choose to buy it after you know what's in it, which kind of works both ways, because it means people that would normally just buy them blind might not buy the ones anymore, might not buy them because they don't like what they've seen in them. But it also kind of gives that incentive for people who never buy packs like me. I'm still previewing them all, and say there is one for like £10 where I'm like, that's a really, like, there's 2 really good cards there. I'm like almost tempted to do it, where I would never spend any money normally.
It is still in its own way evil.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's evil, but they're kind of trying to circumvent that gambling, aren't they, by telling you what's in there.
I know.
Do you have, like, different tiers of the same player? Because I've never, obviously, played FIFA.
It's so complicated.
It's ridiculous.
Like, there's, like, 8 different types of some players. And
that's mad.
I simply cannot be arsed with Ultimate Team. Like, every year, I genuinely give it a kind of an early go, and I'm like, you know what? This is the year I might spend a bit of time in this mode, because I love, when they first started doing Ultimate Team, I was like, holy shit, they've turned like deck building, Magic the Gathering type stuff into football. Like, that is
so good.
2 really different sides of my interests in one place.
Yeah.
And I often think the only people who are having the experience I dream of with that are people working at FIFA who get infinite coins. Like, they're the only people who could possibly be having the experience I want to have in Ultimate Team, which is...
Or football YouTubers who have infinite amounts of money, like, to spend. Like, it's literally investment.
That's it. I'm happy to... Like, I would be happy to play a mode, and I know this will never happen and it's useless to talk about it, but I would happily play a mode like this where they gave you a randomized... You did randomized deck building where you earned stuff as you went through and all that. But I'm never going to fucking pay for it. And the way it stops you in your tracks so often, like the loan stuff and all that.
Where's the football, like, deck building roguelike? Where's Slay the Spire, but with football?
I honestly think PES... I know PES has to follow in FIFA's tracks with this stuff. But I honestly think if they did Ultimate Team but didn't charge any money for it and made it an actual good, like, deck building mode, I think I would buy that game for that.
Are people
matter.
Able to make money out of Ultimate Team? Like, can you
no.
sell?
Well, not unless you're like a content creator. You literally make money from there. Like, I mean, there's no way to make money.
You illegally can.
Within the game, there isn't. Unless you're a professional player, you enter tournaments. Like, it's just like any other game. You're right, gambling to get better players. I do have an absolutely absurd team at the moment, though. I've got very lucky. I got Pele. I got Lothar Matthäus. I got Paolo Maldini. That is a spine to a team. I'm sure you're familiar with all of those, Jesse. You're looking very...
I know the first guy you mentioned.
Pele.
Yeah,
I'd hope you know who Pele. Like, I feel like he has transcended the sport. But yeah.
Didn't he appear at E3 at one point?
He probably did to announce a FIFA about a few years ago, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Well, like back when he was turning his hair into diamonds, which is a real thing
and
he what? Did.
Yep. And so, and making Viagra, yeah. whatever he was doing.
He, yeah. he didn't
Footballers
make it.
Footballers are cool people.
Well, we don't know that. anyway, yeah. Just thought, yeah. The previous, I thought it was an interesting thing they're doing with FIFA. Not that I think it makes it any less egregious necessarily.
In a very similar sense. I'm going to go on to loads of other stuff in my bit, but I've been playing only FIFA and Grindstone for months. I've not had my attention turned by any games until this month for ages. But I'm having the same thing as you with Ultimate Team, where I'm playing a very long career mode. I've just won the Bundesliga with Sampaoli. That's my big achievement.
That's a satisfying word.
It is. But just getting that thing where you're like, oh my God, career mode is so bad. Like, it's such a badly made mode. And yet, because it's the only version of it in the world, I will continue to play it year after year.
When was a good career mode? Because for me, I'm like equating it to, like, I don't know, a WWE game where, you know, it might be 10 years ago, you last had like a good manager mode.
The last time I properly played it was, I think, my last year of uni. So I would have been like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
The only reason I really played that as a lot is because me and my housemate would actually play it like together. We'd play all the matches together and make transfer tunes together. Like, the mode wasn't necessarily great, but we just played it together as a co-op game, basically.
This is the thing, is like, there probably hasn't been a career mode that right now I would deem good ever.
Mm.
But 10 years ago when I was playing Pro Evo and there was only Master League, was good for what it was at the time. This career mode is probably better than what Master League was 10 years ago, but it hasn't made the steps that it should have done given how wildly big FIFA is and how much resources are pushed into it.
I love Master League when they'd like regen Maradona in as a 16-year-old and stuff like that.
That was good.
Since I don't follow football, I'm just interested in knowing, like, what would be a good FIFA or PES story mode? Like, what would that look like?
It's not a story mode so much, because FIFA has done story modes and they weren't good. They were funny, but they weren't good.
Yeah.
And they've clearly given up on that for now. But it really, you know, like, this is the most boring answer you can give. It just should be more like Football Manager. Like, it should be a Football Manager where you play the matches, and it's just so limited in so many ways, to the point where, like, its UI isn't good enough. Like, there are really basic, weird choices it makes that make it hard to just get around its menus. Like, it feels badly thought through from a basic level.
It's mad how FIFA haven't like just outright killed Football Manager by including their own version of it in a game.
They kind of can't, in as much as Football Manager is way too deeply entrenched in all of its own systems. Like, FIFA would have to put so many resources in something that wouldn't make it very much money to get to Football Manager's level, so no one would care.
No. There was an EA Football Manager like 10, 15 years ago, and I did play a couple of them, which was, it wasn't really mixing the two, but it was kind of trying to be Football Manager, but you'd watch the matches like
in
they were
the
FIFA games
engine,
in the FIFA engine, which
so just
was
like
a
watching
novel-
two AI play against each other, basically.
Yeah, which was a novelty back then, because Football Manager still only was a 2D top-down game, so you couldn't see 3D games.
Right.
But since then, like, yeah, Football Manager wiped the floor with anything they tried. But yeah, it's hard to... Career mode is an odd one, isn't it? Because every year I'm like similar to, I think I'm like, God, this is the year I want them to do something career mode. But whenever I sit down and think, what do I want them to do with career mode? I'm like, I don't know what they could realistically do.
It just needs to be smoother, and it just needs to be more in depth. Like, there should be more interactions and more stuff to mess about with. Like, the gameplay is good enough. It's just everything that surrounds it. Like, these weird cutscenes they've put in, the UI, the menus, the like scouting systems are really poor. Like, all the chewy stuff that Football Manager players love isn't good enough. And so you sit there and you're just like, oh, I just wish I was playing... I just wish this was like an inch. No, actually, that's. I don't want to say that because they'll do that, and then I will be told off for asking for an inch more. I just want everything like a level better than it is right now, and keep the game exactly as it is. Like I don't. I like, for all its faults, I like how FIFA plays. I just want everything around that mode to get a boost and get some money put into it, and they never do.
Exactly. We don't normally talk about football games, so let's just briefly talk about one more that kind of stealth release yesterday out of nowhere.
Oh, do you mean new football game?
Yes, literally called New Football Game.
To give it its full title, New Football Game Online Performance Test.
This is, if you haven't heard about this, this is basically PES 2022, which Konami released on the PSN store. Did they release on Xbox as well? Or is it PlayStation?
It's on all Xboxes and all PlayStations. Got it. Overnight.
It just stealth launched on the stores as New Football Game Online Performance Test and said, download this new football game to test our online capabilities. I don't know. What did they think good would come out of this?
So there's two sides to this, right? So to Konami's credit, they are historically have had a lot of problems with online in their games, to the point where like PES games would launch and people wouldn't be able to play online properly for weeks until they got it right.
Yeah.
So there will be longtime fans who are like, hey, this is great. Like, they're actually giving a shit about this experience, which is integral to how the game's played for lots of people, particularly in, you know, if there are more lockdowns, whatever, you need that stuff to be good.
Yeah.
But the game they have released as New Football Game is such a bad advert for what PES 2022 might be that it feels like it's going to work against them.
Is it not just the exact same as the prior game?
No.
Like, is it worse?
To the point where, like, this is the they've used Fox Engine for nearly 10 years. Maybe a little less. They're switching to Unreal for the first time this year.
Okay,
so this
right,
is a brand new engine, functionally, like, it looks very similar. The UI is very similar, but their promise is that on Unreal it's going to be a very different game. It's going to look better. It's going to do better stuff.
Okay.
But it doesn't feel like it when you play New Football Game.
I haven't a chance to play it, but I did watch a match of gameplay that we put up, and my God, did it look slow.
It is so slow. But it's to the point where this is the problem. Like, I'm in no way looking at this game and going, oh, PES 2022 is going to be bad. It might come out amazing, but it's such a bad advert. Like, it's so slow. You can't do one-touch passing. They don't even have, like, a basic football mechanic in the football game.
Wish I understood what this meant,
There's just bad. It's just, there's stuff that you would do automatically as someone who plays football games that doesn't work yet.
I mean, so hearing a football game be slow is like having a tire missing in a Forza game. It doesn't sound right.
It's really weird. Like, the whole experience is very strange. And they still haven't, I don't think they've tweeted about it. Like, the whole deal is like, they sent, the PR sent a few outlets, including us, like, some notes about it and said, like, here's what this is. But it really feels like they're trying to do a sort of half secret release. Like, we want some testers, but
they don't want it to be overloaded.
I don't know. Like, it's just bizarre.
If you saw this on the store, and obviously it doesn't say PES or anything, would you know? And it didn't have any Konami, anything like, would you know this is? It would just be some random upload.
It's just a green square, isn't it? Yeah. It says New Football Game.
When you load it up, if you've ever played a PES, you'll be like, oh, these are the PES menus. So you'd know that.
Right.
But if you just scrolled past it, you'd be like, what the fuck is New Football Game? Like, and I did put out a cheeky tweet that said, I'd like PES to be called New Football Game from now on. I genuinely still would. I think it's really funny.
It sounds like a shit ROM hack or something like that. Someone put together.
Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, it's not fair to judge the game on this because they've already stated it's far improved from what you're playing now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Like, it hasn't even officially been revealed. This is a game.
This is the annoying thing is, like, I'm genuinely excited for PES this year because I want to see what it looks like in Unreal Engine. I want to see what Konami can do with something different. I want to see what taking a year off a football game looks like because no one's ever done that. Like, well, no, that's absolute bullshit. People have definitely done that. People haven't done that for this entire last console generation. Like, we haven't seen people take some extra time to build something better, and people complain that they don't do that every time. So Konami have a real chance to go, like, this is what it looks like when we give a shit.
I'm excited.
And they've just given it a really bad first look.
Impression, it's really... Like, imagine, like, Activision just being like stealth releasing, like, I don't know, a multiplayer map from the new COD and going, new shooting game online test. It's just a map, like, get people to play. It's so
weird. It just seems like on brand for Konami in some way, to be honest. Like, this, it's just.
The worst sign about this to me was, so we got the news out really early yesterday morning, because I'm great at my job, and I saw people in the comments going like, who, like proper PES people had already seen this thing going around, but no one had the information about what it was. And it was to the point where some people in the comments were saying, no, this isn't PES 2022, this is a stress test for the mobile game. And you're like, oh, if people think that's what this is, then that is how bad an advert you've made for this game.
Like, yeah, that's dreadful. Yeah, are they even making a mobile game?
They do. They have a mobile game.
Yeah. This isn't a mobile game. It looks. That's the thing. It looks all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lighting's
I'm sure it will be good. It's just a weird strategy, Konami. Yeah. Why?
It's odd. Anyway, that's enough football chat for one day, I think. Let's briefly talk about what else we've been playing. I've been persevering with Mass Effect. I say persevering, that sounds like I'm not enjoying it. I very much am enjoying it. I haven't played it for a week now though, so I'm getting a bit itchy. I might have a big weekend with Thane and the lads, because I just got him in my party.
Thane's the best.
Yep. I'm currently rolling with Thane and Garrus. They're my wingmen. I'm having a lovely time. Turns out Mass Effect games are very good. Someone should have told me. There you go. That's all I have to really say about Mass Effect. Jesse.
Hello.
Hello. Have you been doing any games?
Yeah, a little bit. So quite recently, like, plenty's been going on E3 and otherwise and stuff, and I've just wanted a little bit of a relaxing game to play, and I feel like this kind of just came out of nowhere. I didn't know about this game beforehand, and looking it up, apparently it's been on Apple Arcade for a little while.
New football game.
Yeah, but the game I'm referring to is Lego Builder's Journey. And it dropped on Steam and also Nintendo Switch. And if you don't know what it is, it's meant to be a relaxing, atmospheric, like, geometric puzzle game. And from what I've played so far, apparently it's only an hour and a bit long, and I've only played about 20 minutes or so, but, you know, it left an impression. It just involved me putting down the most realistic-looking Lego pieces I've ever seen in my life in order to move a character from one point on the Lego build to another. And weirdly enough, it even has... It has a story with no dialogue, but from what I gathered, like, when you start the game, you're a child who's going on these adventures with, like, your father or your mother, and, like, the first build you have to do is, like, you're building a sandcastle, and then you move on to, like, you know, crossing, like, a little river with your dad or something, and then it goes on to, you know, climbing upwards on a path that's fallen in front of you or whatever. And the gameplay itself isn't too complex or anything. I've heard that the puzzles get complicated as the game goes on, as you'd expect, but I think the main thing to take away is just how relaxing and also very beautiful it is. Just even looking at the gameplay I uploaded and stuff, that's only at 1440p, and obviously there's YouTube compression, but just looking at that and, you know, looking at the raw gameplay that I have, it's like, it's mad how real this game looks. You could take a snapshot of it and be like, oh, that's like taken in a professional studio or something.
If it wasn't set on like abstract backgrounds, you could genuinely mistake this for real Lego. Like, it's kind of amazing. I played the first 10 minutes. I played up until, like, you know, like the title comes up X minutes into the game.
That's exactly where I stopped.
Yeah, so I played up to there this afternoon, and like, it's a mix between, it looks like Cloud Gardens, which is a game I've gone on about a lot, but it's really nice, relaxing, abstract little locations to mess about in. But it's got like the gameplay of Monument Valley. It's all about getting someone to somewhere else by solving tiny puzzles on the way.
Right. So I've never played those games, but people kept saying like, oh, this is just like Monument Valley.
Yeah. And it is like Jesse says, I don't have much to add to it. It's just gorgeous. I've seen some people complaining that it's $20, which does seem like a lot of money for a game.
Just for an hour.
It's not like early access or anything, or they're adding to it. This is the game.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're adding to it. Certainly it's not early access. But yeah, I'm not sure whether it's being added to or not. But
For $15.99 or $20, like, for an hour or so of your time, if you're like diehard Lego fan, or you have, I don't know, like an expensive graphics card, and you want to see some more ray tracing capabilities out of games, this is a good showcase for that, just because of how good it looks. But you could wait for it to be on sale. Like, if it was $6, absolutely go ahead and buy it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's cheaper on the Switch or not, but probably for that much of the price, I'd wait for it to be on sale. And unfortunately, the Steam Summer Sale is occurring right now, but it's definitely not on any sort of discount.
Yet. I'll give it a go eventually. It sounds like my sort of...
It's lovely. It's really nice.
Yeah, the music is absolutely splendid.
What else have you been relaxing with then?
Well, so after I played a bit of that and stuff, I was looking at my library, and I remember back to the, what was it, the Future Showcase during E3 and stuff, and I was like, forget Lego. I just want to, you know, kill some people online and just, you know, blow shit up. And there was one game that was shown off called Hell Let Loose that was, I think it's been in early access for more than a year now or so, and it's getting its full release next month with the inclusion of the Eastern Front. Probably should mention this is a World War II game. It is a multiplayer 50v50 like unit-based shooter. And the reason why I wanted to play this, because I jumped back into Battlefield recently as well, and I've been playing a bit of COD with a mate. And I'm kind of tired of playing multiplayer shooter games where units or squads or teams don't really communicate. Like, there is no kind of like chain of command. There's no one really working together. Because you can jump on like Battlefield and, you know, your whole entire team could be comprised of snipers who are just dicking about, not really caring for the objective. But unlike Call of Battlefield, Hell Let Loose is really about teamwork. Even before you get into the game, like before you actually get into the gameplay, you know, you're looking at the, like, the structure of a match, I guess. And at the top of every team, there's a commander, and they're responsible for like coordinating every other unit within the team. And this commander can call in air support, they can call in supplies. And then down from the commander, you have officers, right? So an officer, they're the leaders of each of these player created units. And, you know, when you join one, they'll manage you and your teammates, they'll talk to other commanders and stuff. But when it comes to playing, it is completely bonkers. It's one of the most impressive sounding and looking first person shooters I've ever played on PC. Like, if you've watched, I don't know, Saving Private Ryan, or you've played Medal of Honor Allied Assault, and you want to kind of recreate the chaos from those games, then Hell Let Loose is perfect, because I think Battlefield is only 64 players, and when you have a multiplayer match that's 100 players, right, it's bonkers. Like, take Omaha Beach or Utah Beach. These are two separate maps in the game. When you're on the offensive as the Americans, and you're on that little tin can ship, and you reach the beach, and then, you know, like, the thing just drops on the ground, and you're hitting the floor. It is crazy, because all your teammates are dying. You're trying to sprint across the, like, you know,
it sounds
across
horrific.
The beach. Yeah. It's really, really intense. And unlike Battlefield or COD, you're going to go down in one bullet, or if you're lucky, two, you know, like a single M1 Garand shot or Carbina 98K shot, and, you know, you're dead. But I think what's great about Hell Let Loose is just how important the individual unit is. So, you know, unlike COD or Battlefield, where, you know, you can kind of just customize, you know, your loadout completely and do whatever you want. There's a bunch of different roles, but you can only have one person in each role. So within
it forces you, that's good.
Yeah, so basically, you know, you have one person anti-tank, you have one person who's a medic, one person who's an engineer and stuff. And just yesterday, I found myself in a small team of tank hunters. And, you know, I was in what's called easy
unit.
It's
what happens. Sometimes you just find yourself in a small team of tank hunters. It just happens.
It's generally something that you just don't get to see in, like, other, you know, popular first-person shooters, where me and one other unit were, like, working together, having our commanders talk to each other and, like, you know, hunt down tanks in this humongous map whilst, you know, another commander is trying to, like, you know, secure a bridge or something like that. And it's just, it is really crazy how intense and just manic the combat is. And it's not, like, super realistic or anything. Like, you have infinite sprint, you can jump around and all sorts, but it just, it, like, balances that fine line of, you know, being realistic but still fun to pick up and play.
Yeah, I've not played it myself, but I've seen footage of it over the, like you said, it's been in early access for at least a year or so, and I've seen footage of it over the months, and it does look surprisingly good. Like, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, this could be quite janky, but it looks nothing. It's not janky at all. It looks
genuinely
polished.
It's a complete experience. It's got, I think, 8 or 9 maps right now, and they're really huge compared to, you know, other games you might play and stuff. And there's only 2 game modes right now, Warfare and Offensive. Warfare is like a tug of war and stuff. Yep. So the map is split into a bunch of different sectors, and whoever controls the majority wins. Offensive is where one team attacks and, you know, one team defends. It's like what you might have in a Battlefront 2, for example. But just how crazy it is, like, those moment to moments, like, you know, you'd watch a Battlefield trailer and all those kind of set pieces, they're constantly happening throughout a match of Hell Let Loose. And because there's so many players and, you know, teams are so important, like, you don't want to play this game without a microphone, basically.
Cool. I mean, it sounds like it will tide people over till Battlefield later in the year, maybe, if they're looking for something like that, especially if you want that World War II kick, because, well, there's rumors, aren't there, the next Call of Duty might be World War II.
Really?
Battlefield is definitely not World War II, the next one.
So, yeah, and Hell Let Loose is meant to be coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X later this year, and that's what's cool, because you don't really get these like realistic PC shooters come into consoles. Like, you're never going to see Squad or, I don't know, Rising Storm 2 Vietnam come to console. Maybe you will, but Hell Let Loose is one of the first types of games like that come into console.
Lovely. Why don't you quickly tell us about some more war you've been doing?
I've really missed like playing games where you can just chat to your teammates and, you know, hear people on a microphone and just communicate and stuff. And
you'd love Overwatch, mate, I'll tell you.
Honestly, I think if I got into Overwatch again, I'd have to play support. So maybe when Overwatch 2 comes out, I'll get into it a little bit more and have a good team. But I've been playing the recent Armor 3 like DLC, creator DLC called Prairie Fire, which is set during the Vietnam War. And again, it's just another thing of Armor 3 is one of my favorite like military sandbox simulator games. The multiplayer portion to it is fantastic. And, you know, having a server full of, you know, tons of people on a humongous map where, you know, one person is doing recon, someone's in like an armor division, another person's like dropping supplies off, you know, in a Huey to like your troops on the front line. And just all these kind of, you know, military games I play, they require communication. And that's why I like, because I miss the days where I would hop on Xbox 360 and play with my mates over my headset and stuff. Everyone's just in private chats these days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why me and Joe play so much Warzone, just so we can kind of communicate. We don't really communicate, do we? We kind of just, we talk about other things while we play.
Yeah. I mean, we communicate. Yeah.
But we don't necessarily say, you know, 30 yards to your left.
You do occasionally, but then we ignore you and you get really upset with us.
Well, only if we're near the end of a game and I want to win it. Normally after, like, the first hour or so, I'm, like, having a good time. Then after an hour or two, if we're not getting any wins, I'm like, right.
Right, now we're winning. We're going to the warehouse. We're going to hide in it for a bit, okay?
We're never going to a warehouse, I'll tell you that.
There are definitely some, like, armchair commandos in these games where they take it way too seriously.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm just imagining, I don't know if you've seen Space, Jesse, but I'm just imagining, like, Nick Frost doing the paintball... Well, I'm imagining that is why I'm imagining a lot of people like that. Joe,
Dwayne,
you've listed a lot of things you've been playing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go through real quickly.
Come on.
So, like I said, I have been tragically uninspired by games for a little while and only played Grindstone and FIFA for about 2 months. And then I played Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, which I can't remember if I've talked about or not.
I don't think you have. Here.
I fucking loved that game, and I don't give a shit about Ratchet and Clank. Like, I couldn't care less about that series.
Same.
But it's the second game I've ever platinumed, and it's the second Insomniac game I've platinumed. Like, those guys just know how to make a world feel really nice to get around and hoover up everything. I love the guns. I love that there are so many guns, and that I could just use one for a while and then go, a bit bored of this. Like, I know... This is one of those things I say, but it reminds me of Dynasty Warriors. You get bored of one thing and there's just a whole fucking smorgasbord of other things to use instead.
It's
so nice. The upgrade you get where you get rocket boots that let you fly around and essentially sort of skate across territory.
I just
skate
got those, across landscapes. Fantastic.
It's incredible. It feels so good to use. And the adaptive triggers make it really nice because you're like having to push one in to get the speed up and stuff. Yeah. It's such a sumptuous thing.
It's just very fun.
Yeah. It's nice to play a current gen game that's not anywhere else, and you're seeing the tech being utilized, and it's like, shit, man, these set pieces are wicked.
It helps that it looks that good, but even if it looked like last gen game, it wouldn't matter. I think it's fucking amazing. Like, it's just such a nice thing. I really like the story. I really like the Pixar-iness of it, and that they've gone all in for like characters with sort of emotions that need to be worked out, but not overwrought, nothing too like grim. It just feels like everyone has something they're going to work through, and by the end, everyone has resolved their issues in their own personal way. I just loved it. I thought it was so, so good.
I agree.
And like a real feather in the PS5 cap, and which I don't think there's many feathers there yet, so it's a good one.
I mean, it's pretty much Insomniac. You got that. Well, Miles Morales is available on PS4, isn't it? So it's not even necessary. Necessarily just,
I feel like Miles Morales, Demon Souls, Returnals, and this. Yeah, to be honest, that's the kind of sticks out of my head.
And then I started Resi, which is another series I'm not hugely care about, and I'm really enjoying that as well. I'm playing it on easy because I just want the story and stuff. I want to play it as like a bad action, like me as a bad action character. I'm into that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just, this morning, before our morning meeting, I finished the House Beneviento bit, and I'm glad I played it in the morning.
Cool. Did you enjoy it?
I mean, I thought it was a really good set piece. That's the bit people say is like the scariest thing of all time.
Yeah,
right?
it's probably like the scariest Resident Evil moment, because Resi has never been scary, but it was pretty. It was a nice change for Resi.
I thought it was a really good... like, it is funny seeing them just go, so we just put PT in our game.
Yeah.
like, down to stuff I won't spoil, but there's an element of that thing where you're like, is that literally the model from PT? but yeah, there's, like, it's a very good little puzzle. It's a good little area. That was really fun. And, like, Castle Dimitrescu was really fun as well, in as much as how just amazing that place looked and how well realized, like, a castle was. I thought that was really cool. I'm really enjoying that, having a nice time.
Awesome.
And then I've played a bit of two Devolver games recently as well. One called Terra Nil. Have you seen Terra Nil?
I have.
Oh, it's,
I'm going to search it right
lovely.
Now.
It is a base building, like a city building game, except you are on a wasteland that has clearly been, or the implication, I think, is it's been destroyed by humans.
I have seen this.
It's just gross. And you put down city building stuff to make it nice. And as you build it into nice stuff, nature returns, and like you get little deer coming across, and like you build rivers, and it just looks really nice. It's got really lovely art style. And then it has this really cool final puzzle twist, which is once you've reached the objectives for that area, you then have to destroy everything you've made except the greenery you've left behind. So all the materials you've used, everything you've built, has to go away. And so you have to build it all with the knowledge that you're going to have to destroy it at the end, and that becomes harder and harder the fewer things you have on the map left. It's a really smart little puzzle.
So it's like small individual, like, unique maps for each kind of area.
So I've only played the demo, which has one map, but that's what it did in that. But I'm assuming it will be harder and harder puzzles to solve in that way as you go through. And it just looks great. And it's got a really nice soundtrack, and it's just very peaceful. Fits right in with my current love of, like, Cloud Gardens, Dorf Romantic, like these quite sort of ecologically focused relaxation games. Like this one's a bit more tough, a bit more like stress thinking in a way, but it's not timed. There's no like hardship to it, and you can undo your moves and stuff. So that was really cool. And I've also played a bit of Phantom Abyss, which just came onto early access, which is like, some people have called it 3D Spelunky. It's kind of like Indiana Jones in hell.
I've seen bits of this. It looks manic.
Yeah, you are an adventurer who has to enter a tomb. You get a whip, and you can travel around using that whip and jumping. The fun twist to it is that everyone who dies in a procedurally generated tomb stays there as a ghost, and those ghosts will build up over time until someone completes that tomb, at which point it is closed forever. So if you're the person who gets the idol out of the tomb and gets out with it, you are the only person who will ever have done that. And all those ghosts will be lost, and they act as like increasing tutorials as you go through.
Is that set to like a time limit?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just like get through, because it's quite hard.
Right.
But you could look really cool doing it.
I really want to play it. I've seen some mad Twitter clips going around.
It's very good.
People just scrambling, and I really want to try that.
If you want a sense of what it's like, Christian Donlan from Eurogamer put up a really good piece about it today, saying he thinks it's going to be a classic. But he explains it beautifully if you haven't got the sense of what it is. And he talks about like how he kind of interacts with ghosts. Like, some of them he watches and they're just rubbish, and you're like, ooh, you're a bit crap. And then some are amazing, and you're like, wow, I've actually learned a lot from watching your dead run.
You can almost watch it like a game show, like Total Wipeout. Yeah. Sounds like you're just...
It's got a really cool, like, it's got action platformy stuff to it, but it also, it does have a little bit of like the performative, you know, online game type stuff. It's a really cool thing. And then the final thing I've been playing is not a game at all. It is in the NVIDIA Canvas app in beta, which I fucking love. It is essentially a sketch pad where your sketch gets turned into a photorealistic drawing of a landscape. So you sketch on. All the colours are different materials. And you just get a square and you're like, I'm going to put some green here for grass. I'm going to put some blue here for sky and a grey here for clouds. And then you turn it, look on the other side of your screen and it looks like fucking constables come and painted something in your house. It's amazing. It's genuine. It's one of those things where you kind of, for an idiot like me, it really spells out how good machine learning stuff could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And inevitably someone will use it for evil and we'll all hate it in a year or
well,
two.
Well, you've already used it for nefarious.
Well, someone
things.
Asked me to
Twitter.
Draw cock and balls and I did it out of some stone and it looked really realistic.
I instinctively did that and I was like, no, I shouldn't. I should try and do something worthwhile.
Well, don't. Didn't happen, it looks great. It's probably.
Do you need a special
you
graphics card?
You have to
special?
Have an NVIDIA RTX graphics card to run it. Because I'm a lucky boy. I've got one. Matt Perslow of this parish told me why that is. It's not because I was like, well, surely this doesn't take much very much like horsepower to run. But he pointed out that it's the AI cores in those graphics cards that enable that to work because it's the AI working to do it. But if you've got an RTX graphics card, genuinely, it will suck up 2 hours of your time like that. You'll just be messing about with it because it is fascinating to see your shite sketches, and mine are really shite sketches, get turned into cool stuff.
The kind of boring thing I try and do is find, like you said, like a constable or a turner or something.
Recreate
and just
it.
Try and guess how I could recreate it just with little sketches.
Unfortunately, there's no... there's no material yet for a hay wain, so I'm struggling to make my constables. But
do a Picasso, or they should introduce different. You know, they should introduce cubism. And
we've all seen Picasso's work. He's not got shit on this AI. He's rubbish compared to this AI.
AI officially is better than Pablo Picasso. You've heard it here first. Do you know what? I reckon Pablo Picasso would also be shit at the endless search.
I actually agree. Inside. It's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, I'm the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, I'm the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it endless search?
The endless search this week. We've been asking for your entries, and you have obliged us. We've got quite a few good ones in. This week, though, it is the turn of Dan Heath, who says, hi all, love the podcast. I've been listening ever since episode one.
Jesus.
Is that episode one of the podcast or Star Wars episode one?
I mean, it would be more impressive.
What came first?
Star Wars episode one.
There was not a podcast around in 1999, was there? No. There were. Cool. Was there any podcast?
It was a gleam in Ricky Gervais's eye before he invented the medium.
He's been listening since episode one and has not written in until today. Here's an idea for a new game for the Endless Search that I stole from a friend.
Okay.
It's not your idea then, is it?
That's fine.
Why didn't he email in?
Yeah, why is your friend not listening? And I'm not 100% sure that he didn't steal it from somewhere else.
Right.
He could have. The game is called The Rottenest Tomato.
What?
The game is nice and simple. The quizmaster, that is me, gives the contestants a particular category. For example, a film starring Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Each player then has to give an example of the film that fits that category that they think will have the lowest tomato meter score on Rotten Tomatoes.
This is such a good idea.
I like it. I like it a lot because this has a lot of legs to it. You could do this for games with different sites. There's a lot of variations here. I then check to see who got the lowest Rotten Tomato score between you two, and you get a point. And you get a bonus point if it's scored below 5% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How many films have scored lower than 5%?
Well, Don't Look Now, because that's cheating.
I thought you meant the film Don't Look Now. I was like, no, that's quite well renowned.
Yeah, that should have like 90 plus, if it was up to me. Anyway, so we're trying to find bad films here, guys. That's the key.
BFs.
Yeah, exactly. Dan says, thanks, guys. Hope you enjoy it. And for Christ's sake, respect the sea. I think we will enjoy this, Dan.
I think we will respect the sea.
Yeah, we will. I've chosen to. I've basically done, Dan sent in 5 categories. I've kind of mixed and matched, putting a couple of my own ones in there. And so these are a mixture of mine and Dan's categories for you. We're going to do 5. So there's 5 points to play for, of course. There's the bonus. If you get below 5%. Okay, so your first category is, you've got an option here. I want a film that stars either and or can have both in Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
I want the worst film you can think of starring either of those.
Oh, I'm gonna
go to Rotten Tomatoes.
So we can go for any of them, right?
Any, whatever you think the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score is for an Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone film. We want a bad one. We don't want any Terminator 2s here, lads. That's a poor choice.
I'm trying to think
I feel like I watched a shit one recently, but I don't know if people consider it to be shit, and then I'm going to piss people off.
Sometimes Rotten Tomatoes can be a confusing place. Both of these actors have some great films, but they also have a lot of bad ones.
A lot of bad ones.
I have one for Arnold.
Okay, so Jesse's going first on this one. We'll take turns. Okay. Jesse's going first. What are you going with?
Hercules in New York. Which is his first film.
Yeah, that's him bodybuilding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hercules. Is that the one where he says, "It feels like I'm coming," when he talks about
that's pumping iron.
Oh, is that pumping iron?
Yeah.
But I swear he's dubbed in that one, like, it's something shit.
It's on Rotten Tomatoes, so at least we've got it. Only had 7 critical reviews, apparently. So that's
what year was it?
1970.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like a million years ago.
Oh, you're not telling
Joe,
us this
No, I need your...
I'm really blanking on it, and I'm just going on something that I think was critically reviled at the time, which I'm going with Jingle All the Way.
That is my favourite Christmas film.
Turbo Man is the best.
That is my favourite Christmas film.
I can't remember which way around it was, because I get that and Last Action Hero confused.
No, Last Action Hero for sure did better than Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, and I think Jingle All the Way people don't like.
I tell you, this is interesting. This is interesting.
Oh,
okay.
This is going to be shit.
Hercules in New York on the tomato meter, 14%.
Oh, that's good.
That is a low score, which is a good score.
Yeah, I feel like Jingle All the Way is going to have lower because it got reviewed more.
Jingle All the Way, 17%. Oh. It's a blow. I really love Jingle All the Way. It's not a good film, don't get me wrong, but I watch it every Christmas.
Do you? Every Christmas?
It's like a little...
I did watch it last
Christmas.
For the
past, like, 5 years or so. Like, it's just funny. There are some funny lines
it's
in
not
there with
Elf,
the cookies
mate.
And the balls. No, but it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is Elf considered bad?
No, I'm saying Elf's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought you said it's so bad. I thought you said it's got Sinbad. Sinbad is in it, yes. Well, that is 1 point to Jesse Gomez. Here's your second category. It is films with a colour in the title.
Oh, that's not easy. Okay.
It's Joe to go first. You can, if you got one quick, you can put the pressure on, so I'm not going to hang around for Jesse. So.
I've got two in my head, and I've never watched either of them, but I think both of them might be bad. give me 2 seconds.
It's fine. There's lots of, you know, lots of films
out
there.
Okay. I'm going to take a punt and say The Grey.
The Grey, starring
Liam Neeson punching wolves with tiny shattered wine bottles strapped to his fist. Like, that's either a good score because it's like a taken that people weren't expecting to be good, or it's a bad score because it's shite and he punches wolves.
Well, we'll see.
I've got two more
Jesse,
I want to check afterwards as well.
Okay.
I remember watching this with a mate, and it's Red Riding Hood. I think there's 2 films. It's a live-action horror film, I think.
So, wait, what? Are you going with Red?
Red Riding Hood, and it has to have been between, I think, 2008 or maybe 2012.
2011, the Amanda Seyfried and Gary Oldman film. Okay. Joe, I thought you were going to go for a film you reviewed, The Men in Black International.
Oh, shit!
But you didn't do it.
That's such a good show!
I was going to go for Red, because I thought that got reviewed poorly.
Mm. It might have. So, Joe, The Grey has got 79%.
I knew it would actually be good.
I thought it wasn't meant to be very good, but turns out people liked it. Red Riding Hood... 10%.
Oh, so Jesse's fucking slamming this game.
Seen a lot of bad films, Jesse.
I'm not.
I watch a lot of YouTubers there. Like take the piss out of bad films. But this was not one of
them.
Can we just
very quickly check Fried Green Tomatoes? I don't think it's going to have lower than 10.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Wait, Fried Green what?
It's a film.
Yeah.
74%.
Yeah, see, I was fucked on this. What about Red Dawn?
Isn't
people,
Red Dawn
people
good?
People liked Red Dawn.
I don't know.
Are you thinking... Sorry, you thinking the original or the remake?
I don't remember. I don't know.
They did a Chris Hemsworth was in a remake in 2012.
I swear that's like a favourite amongst people who like old action films.
It probably
films.
Is. I don't
the
know.
80s one with Patrick Swayze.
I think what we've proved here is that I would have lost whatever happened. Yeah, so that's fine.
We've lost. So it's 2-0 to Jesse. So Joe needs to win all three of these, or maybe get a bonus point with a 5%. I don't know. Like we said, don't know how many 5%ers there are out there. Okay, the next category I want the second film in a series.
That's good.
Can be a trilogy, can be a series, can be anything. It was, I think Dan originally said trilogy. I broadened it out to series.
Wicked.
There we go. This may give away my immediate guess.
It's Jesse first. I will.
Can I? Say can that. I? But can I ask a?
Okay, you can ask a clarification question.
Actually, no. I will wish. Wait till Jesse's guess.
So the second film in a trilogy, yeah?
No, in a series. Any series.
A series. Oh, in doesn't a series. Have to be in a trilogy.
It. I don't know. I can't remember the full name. Wait, it's Big Mama's House 2.
You can. I will count Big Mama's right. House 2 as a.
Because that has good, to be man. A shit
that's
film.
Such a good idea. Yeah.
You have to go for like the shit comedies.
Okay, that I've given that is just called Big Mama's House 2.
I've changed mine. Because you've opened a door to a whole new world.
Did Norbit
shite.
Ever get a sequel?
I don't think Norbit 2 ever happen. I don't know.
All right, I've got two in mind.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones.
Are you waiting for me to guess?
Yeah.
Because
what
I was going to ask is, does this have to be chronologically released or second in terms of...
I would say second. So if the question was, would I accept Attack of the Clones, I would have accepted.
But, did that score but well, though?
I know that Empire gave it a 10 out of 10. So,
it's surprisingly well reviewed.
I am going to go for Green Street Hooligans 2.
Green Street Hooligans.
You had to have won this one.
Okay, Jesse, Big Mama's House 2.
Some
5%.
Oh, wow.
He's got a bonus point. So he's got. You're getting a point regardless whether you win or not.
I'm really excited.
Green Street Hooligans 2. Joe, I'm going to actually have to ask for another answer.
Is it
I'm
not
sorry,
on
I should have checked this. I should have checked this before that's announcing right. Jesse's. There is no reviews.
I've got a backup.
It's on there. There's an audience score of 31%, but I'm not taking that.
Jarhead 2. Crazy.
He's going Jarhead.
That was a sequel.
Two. Yeah. Yeah. Field of Fire.
Oh, it must be shit then, obviously.
Again, does not have a tomato.
Fuck off, Jarhead 2 doesn't have tomatoes.
That's mad.
Look, you need to go less than 5% here.
I know, and I thought I was nailed on with one of those. What other films? Donnie Darko 2.
Donnie Darko 2, that is.
I'm
a
just
good
looking
one.
For really bad sequels to films.
Didn't they call?
Like,
wasn't it called like Sarah S. Darko or something?
S. Darko.
Is that a horror trilogy? Because I've never seen it.
Donnie Darko 1 is brilliant.
It is really. It's a really.
Is
bizarre,
it a horror film?
Not really.
It's a thriller.
It's sort of
creepy bit.
It's like a fantasy drama in a way.
Does the cover have like some weird looking? It's not. It's I'm not sure.
It's a
rabbit.
Big blue rabbit. Yeah. S. Darko, a Donnie Darko tale. 13%.
Shit house!
That means Jesse is on 4 points.
Jesse's absolutely amazing at this game.
Joe, you now need to win both and get 5% or lower on both.
To draw.
This just shows I do not pay attention to good films, like, at all. It's quite sad.
We could, look, this works the other way as well. We can do it sometimes where the highest run tomorrow.
Then Joe would win, hands down.
We don't know that. Anyway, two more to go.
This game's better than that game, though. This is a cool game. I really like it.
A film with the word star in the title. You've seen what I've done there.
Yeah.
And it's Joe to guess first on star.
I wish it wasn't.
I can't think... of any like okay does it have to be
mate think of think no, no of hold up
I'm trying to think of shit films, that's the difference.
Well yeah exactly.
I know, but you just said that fucking Clone Wars got like a 10, so
I don't know.
I'm just trying
there's
to
lots of there's this. Lots of films with Star in. Yeah. There's several franchises. I will. I'm just filling air. I don't want dead air.
Yeah.
I can Star.
It's going to really annoy me when I think of actual other films that aren't on this.
Can it be a sequel as well?
Yeah, it can be any film with Star in.
All right, all right. All right, cool.
I bet it is Joe first. I'm just looking forward to what the hell.
I've got loads of
things
that feel like they could have the word Star in the title, but they don't, which is annoying. I'm thinking Battlefield Earth doesn't have Star in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it could easily be called Battlefield Star Earth. oh, shit. I'm just going to go for Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
He's gone Revenge of the Sith. That's not going to have 5%, is it, mate?
No.
But, you know.
I know.
What can you do? Jesse, I do need your...
Starship Troopers 3. Because that got...
Yeah?
That has to be shit. The only good one is the first one.
Which one's
like
3?
That.
Oh, okay. There we go. Starship Troopers 3.
Starship
Order.
Troopers 3's on here. Jarhead 2 and S...
Well, I'm checking. No, they're all on there. I'm checking if it has enough reviews.
Oh, I see.
End.
Okay, sorry.
But it does. I thought one of you go for the really bad Star Trek ones. But
yeah, there are quite a few, but I've never watched Star Trek.
I can never remember. I know the even-numbered ones are meant to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But,
really?
That's the recurring thing, but I couldn't remember what any of them were. And the recent ones are all, I think, like even the shit ones of the recent Star Trek films got some good reviews.
Yeah. Joe, Revenge of the Sith, 80%.
Of course it fucking does.
Good.
People are ill.
It's a fun watch, you know?
It's not 80% fun.
No, Starship Troopers 3, 50%. So both relatively high scores there, but Jesse does take the point with 50%.
This game's impossible.
So I went a bit loose with the last one. I just thought it'd be fun. Free choice. You just pick the worst film you can think of.
Slats, let it loose.
Exactly. Jesse, you get... I'm not going to give you long on this, because you think of any film you want. Jesse does go first, though.
Troll 3.
Troll 3. What's it called? Is it just called Troll 3?
I think it's just called Troll 3. Sorry.
That's not...
I'm an idiot.
Let me look that up, because it ain't coming up if it is.
It is a film, isn't it? I swear it is.
What, the Italian film, Troll 3?
Yeah,
there was a trilogy of films.
Yeah, Troll 2 is the famously so bad it's good.
Aren't they called like
is
Creepers,
Troll 3
Crawlers, and
is Troll 3? No. Isn't Troll 3 called like Attack of the Nilbog or some shit?
I've never watched it
because Troll 2 is really good.
Is
look,
it?
Troll 3 ain't coming up on it on Rotten Tomatoes.
What about Troll? Just the first
one. The original
one.
Troll.
The original. Troll. Let's search for that.
If not, then just Troll 2. Like, they have to be shit films.
But Troll 2 is definitely
going to be. Is this the right film here? 1986 Troll.
That sounds
right.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, I know. This is the film you're thinking.
Okay,
cool. Joe, what's going up against Troll?
Gotti.
Gotti.
I think that's famously a 0%.
Yeah. If in doubt, go for John Travolta.
That film was shit.
Okay, Troll.
You've watched
30%.
Gotti. You haven't watched Donnie Darko, but you've watched
Gotti.
No,
no, no, no, no. I've seen people discuss that film, and you know it's shit. So it's fine.
30% for Troll. So, decent. Gotti. You're right, Joe. 0%.
Nice. Yeah, finally got a point and a bonus point.
What?
I feel like that should be 3 bonus points. You're still losing, but I'm going to give you 3 points for a 0.
What's the John Travolta film where he's like a super fan of like celebrities and he's a stalker?
Oh,
have you not seen that?
I haven't seen it. No, I don't watch these films.
Yeah.
Battlefield Earth is the other famous terrible one. Yeah. Like, he's been in some films.
He really has.
Anyway, that is a decisive victory for Jesse there. I've given Joe 3 consolation points, so it's 5-3. To Jesse. Some would say it's 5-2, but there we go. Good game. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Dan. I think we will revisit that in some form in the future.
If we had another action category, then you have all the Chuck Norris films.
Exactly. There's just so many, categories you can do with that. Jesse, you've got our first piece of feedback.
Yeah, so this is from Carlos Martinez, and he says, Dear IGN UK, in regard to your chat about gaming skills transfer to real life, the gossip in the medical field, is that the best bronchoscopist? How do you say that word? Because I feel like my...
Bronchoscopist?
Oh, that's hard.
And bronchoscopist.
Endoscopists, maybe, appear to play video games. Basically, any procedure that requires the introduction of a scope with button controls into a human tract or cavity would benefit from a proceduralist that plays games. Whether this is causation or association is, however, uncertain. At least I credit, justify, 80% of my endoscopy skills to video games. I've attached some scientific articles because this is a serious email, gents.
We're not going to read the...
No. I'm not smart enough.
I agree.
He goes on to say, Finally, I credit my ability to save money to a time when I ran out of currency in Final Fantasy VII, thus unable to purchase better gear / materia, getting crushed by advanced enemies and having to load an earlier save and losing about 6 hours of story in progress. I've been hoarding the Benjamins since then. Kisses.
Smart.
Carlos, yes. Hoarding the Benjamins and getting down people's throats. I love it. what? He said it.
Nothing.
He's doing
No. I was just laughing at just life.
I genuinely was being innocent about that. I just thought it was a funny phrase. I don't think about disgusting things.
I didn't. That did not even cross my mind.
And this is from Brock Sewell, which is an amazing cool name.
That's strong.
That's like a Pokemon trainer or some shit.
He does start badly, though, by saying, Hello, all. Joe, you're a right bastard.
Well, we haven't heard that in a while. It's good for that to make a comeback, isn't it, Joe?
I'm not even that upset about reading praise anymore. I love praise these days because I've been ground so down to the dust by this podcast. And it's disgusting, listeners. No, you're fine. I was listening to this week's episode, and when you got to the feedback bit about transferable skills from video games to real life, I knew my time had come. Brock Sewell. Several years ago, I was planning a holiday trip to Europe, and having never been, carved out a long 3-week block to do the damn thing right. All the plans were going swimmingly until I went to check car rental prices. $85 a day for an automatic and $13 a day for a manual. Christ. Being unfortunately American, which accounts for the name Brock Sewell, the general consensus is that most of us know fuck all about driving manually. Driving manual, I should say. You do drive manually. Initially, I counted myself chief among that legion, but if my alternative was $85 a day, he's got the dollar symbol and the word dollars, it really threw me off, you could guarantee I was going to sort it out. Yeah, he's American. He guarantees it. Recalling my misspent youth in sit-in racing arcade games like Ridge Racer and Cruisin' USA, I knew that grail was mine, boys. After all, those had clutches and that weird stick with numbers with numbers bit. How difficult could it be? Well, flash forward to just outside Paris, and some grumpy bastard is handing me the keys to a lurid purple Renault Clio. That's a weirdly hard thing to say. Lurid purple Renault Clio that I immediately christened Aubergine, and off I went.
I'm surprised as an American it wasn't called eggplant.
I like aubergine. Yeah, he's living up to the European life.
Exactly, I like it. This is
or,
mixing it up.
He says, he tried to off I went. Not even out of the car park, and I'd already fucked it. Taking a deep, sweet breath of that rental car stank, still under the hateful gaze of now perhaps the most irate man in Orléans, which sounds like it would get a good score in the Rotten Tomatoes game. I collected myself and channeling my inner 13-year-old badass, tried again. Nailed it. The car had a few bouts of the awkward thrusting that we must all come to terms with. Roundabouts can go fuck themselves, and I did have to be rescued on a 70-degree incline by a Frenchman with a moustache bigger than God. But by the time I made it to Nice, they were ringing me up to be in the next Formula One.
That's not true, is it?
There were times I made a bit of a mess of it, but after 4 countries, England among them, and 1,000 miles, it went quite smoothly overall. I mean, no one died. Once I got into the rhythm, it actually felt natural, and I know for a fact it was from the 3 times a year I popped a quarter into an arcade racer. Sounds like sarcasm, but it isn't. Since then, I've lived and driven all over Europe, other parts of the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and several countries in Asia, but there ain't nothing but manual that graces these sweet phalanges. So, long story short, if you want to learn manual, practice in that dingy kart racer at your local supermarket for a bit, then be sure to rent a car in a country where you can't understand any of the profanities people are shouting at you. Oh, and video games also told me quite a bit of Japanese profanity, put to use against a naked old creep at an onsen getting a little too handsy. But that, lads, is a story for another day. Cheers and all the best. I'm tired of the fucking sea. Brock in South Korea.
He's now in South Korea. What's this is
Brock?
He travels.
Send
a lot,
us the
man.
Onsen yeah. story. I mean, unless it's like really sad. Don't send us if it's sad. But if
what
it...
was the what was the story we had with what was it like Mr. Happy or something? The guide in
what?
Do you remember that story we had? It was a
this sounds
I can't
wrong.
Remember now. It was someone's holiday story, and they attached a photo of the guy. It's like a. I'm gonna have to. Someone on this podcast will remember the song talking
crazy.
About.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll find it. But yeah, it reminds me of that a bit. Yeah, send us in the onsen story. Why not? I've got one last piece of feedback here from Daniel Jessup, who says, "Hello, governors. Are any governors here?
I guess I could be a governor of sorts.
Why not? Cheers for keeping me entertained on my drive home from Poole to Portsmouth every day." Every Friday, sorry, not every day. I've been to both Poole and Portsmouth. There you go. Nice places. Last week, you read out some feedback regarding transferable skills in gaming, and I saw it as an excuse to tell you my story. The year is 2013. I'm a 17-year-old enjoying having my first regular wage and spending the cash on any concert I want to. Oh, the good old days before bills. I booked to see Muse at the Emirates. Unfortunate. On the 25th of May, and then Green Day a week later, also at the Emirates. Me and my friend absolutely loved Green Day and bought Green Day Rock Band with all the DLC and always joked around saying, "This is practice if we ever got on stage with Green Day." I think you can see where this is going.
Oh dear.
This is a great story. At the Muse concert, I noticed the crowd camera zoom in on someone dressed up as Spider-Man. This triggered a moment of genius in my mind. The week prior to Green Day, I went to Argos and purchased a Union Jack morph suit. Of course, that's the that is the
why not
the natural link. That is the natural link.
Wouldn't have thought Argos would sell that.
Purchased a Union Jack morph suit with the intention of being noticed by Billy Joe of Green Day. The big day was here. I managed to get near the front of the crowd, and only the second song in, Billy Joe asks for the best singer in all of England. In brackets, of course, this is me. I get up on my mate's shoulders, who funnily enough would not have been there if my ex had not dumped me a few days earlier and him buying her ticket.
Become your ex because you kept going, "I'm going to get on your shoulders, love. I'm going to get on your shoulders in the concert, in my morph suit."
Billy Joe sees me in and calls me up, and I got to sing part of Know Your Enemy with my teenage icon and then stage dive at the Emirates. That is incredible.
That is really cool.
I always like to thank Green Day Rock Band, even though it most definitely did not contribute in any form, as the singing is very off in those games. But I had that game as well, and I would, for no other reason, I would just sing the whole album because I'm a maniac. But there you go. But thanks very much, guys, and let Dale know that I never did quite recover from witnessing Pompey lose a 3-1 lead to a 9-man Coventry. We'll let him know. As a Dockyard City lad, I must stress that you respect the sea. That is an incredible story. And you know what? I went on YouTube to try and verify this, and I found there is genuine YouTube footage of that concert of Know Your Enemy and someone in a Union Jack morph suit getting on stage and singing. And you know what? At the end of this podcast, we are going to be playing 30 seconds of that concert where you can hear Daniel singing Know Your Enemy with Billy
That's
Joe.
Great idea. Sorry, Daniel.
Yeah, and also, Daniel, if you're at that concert and that's not you in the morph suit and you're lying to us, I'll never forgive you.
I think it is. I think it would be bizarre if
it wasn't. I'm choosing to believe.
That would be quite something.
But yeah, that is the music we're going to play out. We actually covered... Do you know what? I was going to this podcast thinking we didn't have a lot to talk about, but it turns out we always find something, don't we?
Real natterboxes.
Oh, aren't we just that? I suppose it's actually quite late in the afternoon. I should get this edited up. Otherwise, I'll probably get messages from people saying, "Oh, where's the podcast this week?" It's coming. You're listening to it now.
It's a 6 out of 10 podcast, and that's okay.
It's fine. Some, you know, you might enjoy it by yourself. You might enjoy it with 3 to 4 friends. I don't know. Anyway, have a good weekend.
Watch Hercules in New York.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nail, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.